Griggs had told Robbie that Oppenheimer and the GAC were blocking the development of the super. Robbie angrily defended his friend and suggested that Griggs should read the minutes of GAC's deliberations. Only then, he suggested, would he understand how fairly Oppenheimer chaired these meetings. He then offered to set up a meeting in Princeton between the two antagonists. Griggs agreed. At 3:30 p.m. on May 23, 1952, Griggs entered Oppenheimer's Princeton office and sat down for what was supposed to be an attempt at mutual understanding. Oppenheimer, however, promptly pulled out a copy of the GAC's October 1949 report with its controversial recommendation against development of the H-bomb. This was like waving a red flag. Oppie might have used his considerable charm to reassure a bureaucratic opponent, but he could not help himself. He saw in Griggs just another idiotic pretender to power, a mediocre scientist who had aligned himself with generals and an ambitious physicist, Edward Teller. He would not stoop to defend himself before such a man, and their conversation quickly became strained. When Griggs asked Oppenheimer if he had circulated a story that had Secretary Finletter boasting that with a few H-bombs the United States could rule the world, Oppenheimer lost what little patience he had maintained to that point. Staring back at Griggs, Oppie said he had heard the story and, furthermore, he believed it. When Griggs insisted that he had been in the room on the occasion in question and Finletter had said no such thing, Oppie replied that he had heard it from an unimpeachable source who had also been present. Since slander was now on the table, Oppenheimer then asked Griggs whether he thought him pro-Russian or merely confused. Griggs replied that he wished he knew the answer to that question. "Well," Oppenheimer said, "have you ever assailed my loyalty?" Griggs replied that he had indeed heard Oppenheimer's loyalty questioned, and he had discussed Oppenheimer as a security risk with both Secretary Finletter and Air Force Chief of Staff Hoyt Vandenberg. At this, Oppenheimer pronounced Griggs a paranoid. Griggs left angry and more convinced than ever that Oppenheimer was dangerous. He subsequently gave Finletter an eyes-only account of the encounter. For his part, Oppie naively thought Griggs too inconsequential to do him harm. To compound his error, a few weeks later Oppenheimer repeated his Princeton performance in a luncheon with Finletter himself. The Air Force Secretary's aides thought it time for the two men to meet one-on-one and talk out their differences. But Oppenheimer arrived late from testifying on the Hill and sat stony-faced throughout the lunch as Finletter, a sophisticated Wall Street lawyer, tried repeatedly to draw him out. Making no effort to disguise his contempt, Oppenheimer was rude beyond belief. He had come to loathe these Air Force men with their commitment to building more and more bombs for the purpose of killing more and more millions of people. To his mind, they were so dangerous, so morally obtuse, that he almost welcomed them as political enemies. A few weeks later, Finletter and his people told the Joint Committee on Atomic Energy that it was an open question whether Oppenheimer was a subversive.